Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore with our hosts, senior style icon Teddy Krockman
and Melissa Pierce, entrepreneur and documentarian. Today we want to welcome our special guest, Brittany Witz, who is the CEO of Why Not Petites. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Brittany first before we dive right into our conversation. So Brittany is a Chicago-based model who has been working in the business since age 10. She has worked with many brands, including Kohl's, American Girl, Myers, McDonald's, Burger King, American Express, the NFL, and many more. However, Brittany's career took a quick pivot when her agent and clients realized that she would not grow anymore. Brittany was not going to be your standard 5'9" plus model that is the industry standard. As a result, she started doing more commercial work, but Brittany wanted to create a space for shorter models because she felt that they could do all the things, and I agree, Brittany, that the taller models were doing. The idea of Why Not Petites was born in 2020 while having a conversation with a friend where Brittany wanted with a friend who asked Brittany where she wanted to be in the next 5 years.
That's a good friend.
Brittany wanted to create a space where models not only felt safe but nurtured in a way that most agencies no longer focus on. And that in itself, Brittany, could become an entire conversation, believe me.
Definitely.
She reached out to all the petite models that she could find. And after a lot of conversations, the first group of Why Not Petite models was created. So welcome to our show, Brittany.
Welcome.
Thank you both for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. So let's get right to the chase, Brittany. Let's talk about the real impetus of Why Not Petites. And that's really the industry standard of the very tall 5'9" plus now we're seeing models. What I was told by a model recently is 5'9" is now like becoming the minimum standard. And they're looking for people even taller, you know, women 6 foot tall, plus their 4-inch heels on. They become like these bigger than life kind of people.
Yes.
But what strikes me, and I'm sure it has hit you as well, too, is that the average height of the American woman is 5'4".
Correct.
So why do you think that the fashion industry, in your own mind, why do you think the fashion industry has embraced such a tall model type, stereotype, whatever you want to call it, to present to the public, when in fact most women in public are considered petite? So if they're wanting to sell their clothes, they're being shown on women who are almost, in some cases, a foot taller than they are. When we know, Brittany, you know, yes, we've both modeled and showed clothes, the clothes look the same on us. You just have to taper it to our particular body, just like you have to taper it to a 5'9" model. Why do you think that the fashion industry has embraced such a tall stature for women to show clothes? Is there any benefit to that?
Personally, I believe there's no benefit, but that's just my opinion. Yeah. However, I believe the whole mindset of being 5'8" and taller is really because it's an old mindset. Think about the old school days when women were supposed to just be housewives. They were not supposed to have jobs. And this idea really comes from there. They wanted to create something that was idealistic for everyone, which meant 00, super tall. Like, they always wanted it to be the unobtainable thing, which is why that became a standard, because the average person is 5'4". The average person is not size 00 and doesn't look like this amazing thing. And you also have to think about the age that they were at too. Most of these girls that were on the runway were between the age of about 15 to 22. And then they're like, okay, you're too old now. So that's really where it comes from, is they were setting an unrealistic standard that they wanted these women to strive to be that just wasn't realistic.
And a standard that really either you're born with or you're not. So it's not anything that you can aspire to. It's not like you and I at the age of 15 could say, Well, I want to grow another, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 exactly. inches or whatever. I mean, you're as tall as you're born to be tall.
So yes, I'm as tall as I'm going to be.
So I don't know how you could strive to be 5'9". You either are or you aren't. But I think
it was just like the idea of like elongating yourself, because these tall, beautiful women are the epitome of elegance, the epitome of the thing that all women should strive to become, which is that you stand tall, you know, that more regal feeling, I think, is what they were trying to push without realizing that they were pushing the height idea as well. It just happened to come with their expectation of the elegance and the poise that they were trying to push.
Well, and here's the other thing. You're talking, you know, high fashion runway models. You're talking about the, you know, like we're saying in past times and stuff that this this theme still carries over to. But would you say that it was because it was mainly men who were the fashion designers that they created in their mind this unrealistic picture of what the ideal woman should be? If there had been, do you think if there had been more female top fashion designers, that this would...
I think the male gaze obviously contributes to it because that's just a huge part of society in general. However, there are a lot more women fashion designers these days. We just watched Chicago Fashion Week where there's a million women designers, which is amazing now. However, a lot of them still have that mindset of, oh, well, I don't want to use under 5'8". That's why, you know, we wanted to make sure we had a show in Chicago Fashion Week, because there still were too many designers in this week alone that's based in Chicago that have used petite models, that all of a sudden, because Chicago Fashion Week now exists, they didn't want to use short models. They want to be able to compete with the bigger cities like New York, LA, Milan. So I think it's more of just the mindset that's instilled in old school thinking instead of wanting to actually create ready to wear and things that people can actually strive to wear today. Because I think it's honestly an upsetting thing, not because of the height restriction, but in the sense of, do they not think about how much money they're kind of losing out on because they're using 5'9" models instead of someone that is 5'4", that then you could make 10 garments the exact same way and those will fly off the shelf. A 5'9" thing, someone's not going to want to purchase and then also have to pay for the altering of that, because it's unfair that the average person has to pay for alterations on top of that. Just like there are now taller brands for women that are 6'4".
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're amazing that they're able to create that, because, you know, there's things that don't fit them either. However, if people can alter to that or are willing to alter for plus size, why are you not willing to alter for the actual everyday person?
That makes total sense to me. And I hear you 100%, because I know that, you know, I can wear, you know, I wear 99% of the time. I'm not wearing a petite size. I'm wearing a regular women's size in a size 4 or whatever. But if it's pants, or if it's some of the sleeves, not all, but some of the sleeves, if it's pants, I'll always have to have them altered.
Yes.
Almost always. I rarely, sometimes I'll be able to, what I'll do is I'll buy a pair of like a capri pants that are supposed to be capri on a woman who's, you know, 5'6" or 5'7". Yep. And I'll wear them as regular pants because they'll fit me like perfect cigarette pants to my ankles.
Yes, I've done that as well.
Right. So you're right. People who are 5'4", which is the average size, again, of the American woman, if you want to buy anything, you've got to, you know, take into consideration the alterations. In fact, I don't know if you've had the same thing happen to you, Brittany, but oftentimes the alterations cost me more than the outfit itself is.
And you definitely know this, because, you know, I'll go buy something off the rack and, oh, that's great because I'm 5'8".
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But it fits you.
Oh, this is beautiful. I love it. And you're telling me you have to go here. This is beautiful. I love it. And it's going to cost me twice as much.
Exactly.
And it's going to cost me 2 more weeks than this impulse purchase. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to have to go get it altered.
Right.
Exactly. That's why it's hard, one, to impulse purchase, but two, I've started to honestly do more custom things because it's actually cheaper to just get something custom that actually fits my body than buying something that I like, but then I also have to alter and then wait for, instead of just creating something that I know that I'm going to love and cherish and have for years to come, instead of like spending and wasting money.
And you, when you think about it, it's such a huge market. I mean, if the average person is around our height or a little bit shorter, you know, like you said, people who have to take alterations into consideration might not purchase the outfit because it's like, oh, you know, for this outfit that costs me $60 or whatever, and I'm going to have to pay $100 to have it hemmed and whatever, it's not even worth it. I remember this designer from Australia. She sent me this beautiful suit, right? Beautiful. Of course, I didn't have to pay for it because I was going to show it on my suit. But when she sent it to me, the measurements were so goofy. That it literally cost me $150 to have the suit altered. And I thought, so it wasn't free after all. I still ended up having to pay $150 to have the darn suit altered. So that being said, how do you think that affects young girls when they look at these models on the runway or in the fashion magazines or whatever, and they're 14, 15, 16 years old, and they know they're probably not going to grow much taller or whatever. Do you think that somehow contributes to their own feeling of lack of self-esteem? I mean, I know I joke a lot about my height. And sometimes I think the reason that I joke about it so much is because I laugh about it before anybody else can laugh about it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're all self-deprecating in different types of ways of things that we're like uncomfortable about or just like we already know someone's going to say something. So I might as well just beat them to the punch. Right. But I think it's a twofold answer because growing up before social media, obviously it took a toll because you're looking at all these magazines and things and wondering, why don't I look like that? Why don't I feel like that? Mm-hmm. And that obviously instilled a lot of body dysmorphia in people before that was really a term and all of these self-esteem issues. But I think it's worse now with social media of people projecting these perfect lives on top of still having the 5'8 and all these expectations. There's now like these random beauty expectations that popped up because of the filters and all this, that that's not what people look like. I do not wake up like this. You know what I mean? And like, people are trying to preach that and push that and think that this is what I'm supposed to look like. And I think kids these days are like having way more issues because of social media on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We find a lot of that in communications research. There's so much research on just like what the media does and what social media does to the feeling of self and how it damages young people. But it's also going to be damaging us older people as well. I mean,
I'm going to look at that all the time.
Oh, yeah. We could do a whole show on ageism. But that being said, and you brought up a good point, Melissa, and so did you, Brittany, about, you know, filters and social media and all that. And yes, I could see where that unrealistic stuff comes into play. And people think that that's how they're supposed to look.
Are there filters that make you taller?
I don't know. I don't use any filters.
Like, you can use like just the angles because now you can zoom out on a camera and if you place it lower, angle up, it'll make you look taller.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can hit certain angles where it'll elongate you. And I've taught my husband how to do that because he used to make me look real stumpy in the pictures.
Oh, no.
He'd take them straight on like that. And I go, now you look at me. I look like my legs are like 2 feet tall, which they weren't. You know, I'm small, but I'm very well proportioned. But he'd make me look like I had these like little stumpy legs. So I taught him how to move the camera. So now he does that good. But I agree. I do not use filters. You know, I am an older woman. I've clearly let my hair go gray. People, whatever wrinkles on my neck or whatever, they're going to see them all. I am me. And that's it. If you want to look at me, fine. If you don't, turn the page and go to somebody else.
Right. Exactly.
But that being said, do you think that maybe the rise of the influencer on social media is also attributable to the fact that people can relate to the everyday people who are showing the fashions and the cosmetics and things, as opposed to the 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall, 120 pound model that they know they will never be. But, you know, you take somebody who's attractive, but not model attractive, you know, in the stereotypical ways, showing products and that becoming more popular. Because I went to a stylist symposium the other day that was very interesting. And one of the things they mentioned was the power of the content creator. Now that you have to take into consideration, not only your general marketing, modeling kind of things, but you have to incorporate content creators now to really get to people to start really marketing your product. Do you agree with that? That people can relate? Maybe there might be some filter usage. I know that I don't use it. And I know a lot of people who don't. Not everybody does. But do you think maybe the rise of the content creator came about as a result of people being able to relate more to the people who are on social media?
That's such a good question, because it's a tough answer, because I think yes and no. Yes, because there are more everyday people doing it. But at the same time, if you look at the things influencers are holding and wearing and doing, like, the everyday person cannot afford Prada. The everyday person cannot have a new outfit to wear every day, not be an outfit repeater. So it's like, in certain ways, it's still not attainable, and it's still not the everyday person to actually look up to, because they're getting all these items for free and people are trying to sell this, you know, idea of like, oh, you can
stop calling me out.
But it's, you know, it's like, it's still that hard twofold answer of like, okay, like, I can see it on my body now, but I still can't afford to get the thing that I would actually be able to wear.
But so, you can see it on your body, which is something.
Which is, yes, which is still like the idea. So the idea of, yes, content creators is great, because there are more people that it's obtainable to. Because again, like, the idea was not everyone can model, and that's why that was such an issue. Whereas now everyone can be a model. Everyone can do something to contribute to the marketing aspect, or to having a say in how it's worn and how to look at it and be a part of the decision making, which is amazing. But again, it's still a twofold answer where it's like yes and no, because it's tough to still be like, yes, I could see myself in it,
right?
But then I still can't see myself in it. So it's difficult. I think it also depends on the product, because a lot of the influencers are still 5'8", and then you put something on or order something like, oh, this is not what it looks like on my body. Or
because most influencers are influencers for a reason. It's the impossible beauty standards that are still available.
100%. Or like the people that become like TikTok stars, or like are famous for certain things. It's because they have all this time on their hands. They don't have a 9-to-5 job. So again, it's another thing of like, well, that's not my lifestyle. I don't fit into that bracket that they're trying to sell of like the lifestyle of an influencer or a content creator. Because there's been a huge pushback against influencers and content creators in the modeling world too, because they're taking our jobs, you know. So like, it's tough, where it's like, if there's actually just better representation in model land, then content creators wouldn't have existed. But content creators exist because of the issues in model land. So now it's like a big fight back and forth, I feel like, where it's, there's good things and bad things on both sides.
Do you see more of a trend towards having various body shapes in model land? Like, is Why Not Petite kind of thriving in that way? Is that starting? Does it feel like that's starting to happen?
I think that there, and even outside of Why Not Petite, there are some really great petite models that are out there doing great work that I have seen that like Why Not Petite follows, or that, you know, we've had conversations about, which is amazing. So there's definitely a change happening. I hope Why Not Petite is part of it. That'd be really cool to be able to say down the line. But I think it's just, model land is still tough. Obviously, like, lifestyle, commercial, even acting, like, there is way more representation now than there used to be. But in fashion model land, it's still tough. Like, they still want the tall models, even for print ads, that no one walks into a department store and goes, wow, she's really tall. People say, that's a really cute top. I want to buy that top. So I don't know why there's still stipulation of certain things.
I see.
It doesn't make sense to me, especially in 2024, where everyone's so, I want to be represented, where there's so much more fluidity of gender. So if you're comfortable having someone who is a female now walking as a male, but their height's now different than two, technically, as far as the standards. So there's just so many things that they're willing to be open to these days, of having someone in a wheelchair and have disabilities and transgender. you're not willing to have a short person, it doesn't make sense. Or a plus size, where you still have to add more fabric for a plus size. Yeah. So if you're actually making something shorter,
small,
it's actually
give me less material.
Right. Because you're saving money. So it's never made sense to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And especially, like you said, in photographic modeling, if the picture is taken correctly, you can't really tell how tall the person is. In fact, I had a friend of mine who's a stylist reach out to me the other day and said, oh, I noticed you follow so-and-so on Instagram. Do you know how tall she is? And here you go. Do you know how tall she is? Because I need to select some models for a special show that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So she loved the way this influencer looked. She couldn't tell from the pictures how tall she was, but yet she needed to know her height.
Mm-hmm. Wait, there have to be some special considerations that a designer has to think of when they're
I think it's
model, right?
It's there's still alterations, and it's okay to ask like someone's height because you still have to make sure the garment isn't too long on them or too short, because there are some things that you're like, oh, I imagine this person wearing this. Actually, they're taller than I thought, so I have to switch what they're going to be wearing.
Right, because like at shoots, we'll, you know, use clips to clip the pants in and do all of these
things. And you can't do that for runway.
So no, you can't do that. Actually, you know what? I was a runway model at the same time Kate Moss came on the scene, and I was pretty worried that my career would never take off because the shorter women were coming for me.
Yeah.
It never took off because I was a terrible fashion model, honestly. Oh, no. But I fell off the back of the stage once. But no, you can't do that on runways, but you can do it in editorial. You can definitely do it in photo. And you're saying in photo. So do you think it's just photographers or just they are just not trained to?
I think they're just not willing to adjust at all. Because I've met photographers that are like, I don't want to shoot petite models because I don't want to have to adjust. I don't have to, quote unquote, work harder. You're not working harder. You're working differently. Mm. And like even the team, like art directors, they don't want to have to think creatively to, you know, be able to fit a petite in the shot. I think it's also they think petite will get lost in the shot instead of being able to pull focus. But if you're a good model, it doesn't matter what your height is. You'll know how to pull focus because you're not a pose. You know how to adjust yourself to fit what is needed. So I think it's just people not wanting to. I feel like there hasn't been a big enough stink about short people. Because plus size, there's a huge movement, which is why it was all of a sudden on the runway. There's been a big push for, you know, transgender, for LGBTQ plus, even some drag queens and for people of color, like all amazing things to see. But I feel like the reason petite still hasn't really gotten there is because there hasn't been enough of a stink about it.
I see.
And here's the other thing with transgender or differently abled people, whatever, they're still really big. Like the plus size models are 5'9", they're 6 feet tall. And when they call them plus size models, hello, they're like, we're like a size 12 or 14.
I know.
Size person probably wears more like a size 22, you know? So they're not showing real plus size models.
I mean, that's
showing, they're probably showing the average body type of the American woman.
I mean, the average body type is still size 16. And when you get get up to 16, you have to cut the pattern different. You have to shape it different. Yes. It's a different garment.
Yeah.
So they're not even showing the garment that someone who is a size 22 is going to wear.
Right.
Exactly. And like that's all the thing is like plus or petites, in my opinion, is just such an untapped market because they're plus size petite models.
Yeah.
They're disabled petite models. There are petite models on the LGBTQ. It's a whole other world that why wouldn't people want to tap into and give that an opportunity to? Because in 2024, people don't want to see the runway like this and it's one height. People don't want to walk on a runway and see like this big. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what the general society is asking for, I don't understand why they're not putting that on the runway. That's what people want to see. They want to see people. That's my height. I can pull that off the runway because, yes, I understand. Runway is meant to be couture. It's not meant to be ready to wear. And it's meant to be something that sets the trends of fashion. However, how many people are in Hollywood that pull things straight off the runway and then put on their bodies? Half of these people cannot wear this because, again, the average person is 5'4". You see all of these amazing Hollywood stars that are short and they cannot wear
it. Hello, Kim Kardashian is 5'2".
Yep.
You see her, she's been on the cover of every top fashion magazine you could think of. Mm-hmm. She was a representative for, I think, Dolce & Gabbana for a while. Yeah. You know, so why is 5'2" Miss Kim Kardashian, they could fit the, and not only that, but she has a very atypical body shape.
Yes, I mean, this is she does. Who's
big busted, has a waist that looks like it's this big, and then her rear end is huge.
Yep, it's huge.
You know, there's no clothes that are made to fit Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian, you can't tell me that everything that she puts on her body, unless it's like a stretchy cat suit, isn't custom made.
Yes. Yeah.
But yet exactly. They can accommodate her because she's famous.
Well, Kim Kardashian, that's why people don't dress for dinner anymore. Because she has to wear leisure wear everywhere to fit
Blame herself. It on Kim.
That's it. I'm blaming it on Kim.
But Kim Kardashian or older models, the only ones that you'll really see are like Helen Mirren, again, who's like, I think 5'5" or something like that. She's no big, tall lady. Mm. So you have, again, older models, but only being shown if they're movie stars. You know, like there's no older women in the world other than the movie stars or the reality TV stars or whatever. It's interesting that because they're famous, they can accommodate their bodies. But for the everyday woman, it's got to be this unrealistic 5'9", 120 pound
person. 5'9", 120 pounds. That's obviously me.
give or take
20 pounds. Maybe 30.
Okay.
But hold on. So what's your, how do you pitch Why Not Petites? How do you pitch? You're like, it's an untapped market. Like if you're trying to get me to put petite models in my show or in my catalog, like what's the pitch? What do you tell people?
Yeah. I mean, first off, I bring up the fact that it's saving you money. If you actually think about it, I understand like you do have to make a whole other pattern for a petite, but if you start with petites.
Yes.
Think about all of the thousands of dollars you're saving on fabric, yards of fabric. Mm. And they're just as talented as the tall model. So why wouldn't you want someone that could be like, oh, I love that dress. I'm going to pull it off and wear it tomorrow to the Grammys that I have to do. Because that happened to us at our most recent show. Latino Grammys was there and they need to pull some things because they have short people in Hollywood that need dresses and they can't fit them. So it's
subject.
Exactly. I'm preaching that there are people who will spend the money if it's something that will actually fit them. The other thing I like to bring up is that petite models are willing to work harder, in my opinion, because they already have to work harder to just be seen.
Yeah.
In the same way as a 5'9" model. So think of having someone just even more dedicated than the model that you're currently working with to push it that much harder and to be that committed to you. Is something that you cannot teach. That's just something that someone's born with, that they want to do this. They have the passion, the drive, the need, the want. They're hungry for it. And so why not be willing to give them an opportunity and a chance to show you that they will also be loyal to you. If you need anything, these 15 models will come out of the woodwork for anything you need, and they will be there and have your back.
Yeah.
So those are usually the things that I push. But also, again, like think about your clientele. Your clientele is not a 5'9", 00 woman. Some of your clientele are older models that also want something that's a little bit more reserved. Or you do have someone who's a size 6 or 8, because that is more of the average body shape that's going to be shopping. And they don't feel comfortable going to a runway show because they don't see themselves. They're going to feel awful sitting there looking at these stick thin girls saying, well, I'll never look like that. So why am I going? And then just making myself
feel. Or if I bought that dress, I'd have to cut 1 foot off the bottom in order for it to look the same way on me. You know,
exactly.
So I have to
and add a yard of fabric and open the darts in order for it to fit me at all. Mm-hmm. So why not be able to just show the differences? Like something I would love to be able to do is do items three ways. Do someone who's short and skinny, someone who's more of the midsize, and then someone who's actual plus size, and show that the garment can look the exact same in three different ways and have them walk down the runway together, have them pose together, have them show and utilize what actual sizing means, what it looks like.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's
Let me ask you, since you started Why Not Petites, and it's been, what, a couple of years now, 4 years?
It's actually technically, so we started January 1st, 2022. It just became an idea in 2022.
Okay. Okay. Oh, so in the last 2 years, since you've started this great organization. Have you seen any movement at all, Brittany, or is it still pretty much dug into, you know, this is the standard that we use, blah, 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 blah? Or do you see any movement because of the arguments that you have presented?
I will say at the beginning, she did say people were using petites up until Fashion Week. They were like, oh, now we have to use the real models.
Yeah, so it depends
on
the movement a little bit. I see the movement a little bit. I think it depends on the showrunner. Showrunners that were using petite models are still using petite models, which is amazing. Like Asian Fashion Week, of course, have petites because Asians are not notoriously tall. And then we also have Minted Media Productions here in Chicago. They both definitely use petite models, and I'm grateful to have them in our corner.
What?
Minted Media.
Minted?
Mm-hmm. Minted Media. Okay. Yeah, they just had their show at Union Station, which was amazing. But then there are quite a few that either have never used petites or decided not to use petites because of Chicago Fashion Week. And I think that this was truly their opportunity for everyone to be brought up together. We've always supported the designers and been there and had their backs. So why is it that the designers are not having their models' backs all of a sudden? So there's some shift, there's some not shift, but I've definitely been calling people out for not using the petite models. And people obviously don't like it because they don't want to be
shamed,
held responsible for their actions.
And it's hard to hold all of that. Right. It's hard to hold everything, but you're like, hey, don't forget us. We're here for a huge part of your clientele.
Yes. And that's a huge part of it, too, is like making sure people know that we're your clients. If you're not going to support us, we are not going to support you because, you know, someone brought to me like, oh, this isn't how women support women because I called them out for not having short models. So it's like, but it goes both ways. You're already not supporting us. So why are we supposed to support you? That's not how it works. It's not, oh, we give you everything and you give us nothing. Right. That is not also woman supporting woman. Woman supporting woman actually looks like I have your back and I have yours.
Yeah.
So we do actually love to support women. We have pretty much all of our shows are all woman led, women run. Most of the designers and stylists that we worked with have been women. Obviously, we give opportunity to men. We've had some in the LGBTQ plus community as well. These stylists are designers and we're so grateful for it, but don't expect us to have your back if you don't have ours, because we've been in the have to hide in the little bushes and it's time for
petites to come out. Hiding in the bushes.
Aren't you so tired of these tall people acting like they're better than you because they got bigger bones than we have?
I mean, it happens. Like, I'll get on set and I'll be the only short model and I'm literally looked down upon because why is she here? She's short. She doesn't belong on this set. But I work twice as hard as you. So actually, I do belong on this set.
Yeah.
You know, it's also just the mindset. A lot of petites are just discouraged that they're not having the opportunities they want to be able to have. But you have to push.
Right. Oh, Teddy, you were just talking about this because you were the shortest model. You were the most petite model on WGN doing Dana Asadi's thing. And you were talking about walking the runway with all these tall models. And they actually had Teddy stand out in front of the model. So the perspective looked kind of the same height. So I do want to
say, I love that.
Yeah, that there are some models out there that are just like, hey, this is how it's going to work for us. We'll just shift perspective. And, you know, then you can see what it looks like. I thought it was great.
It could be, you know, Brittany, you're certainly obviously a lot younger than me. What I thought was fabulous, and so I give her a shout out on the podcast as well, too, is Dana Asadi, who's a wonderful Chicago designer who was just recognized by FGI as a rising star in the fashion design area and given a terrific award. She DM'd me like literally the day before she had to go on Daytime Chicago on WGN because she was down one model. Okay. And so I said to her, okay. I said, who are going to be the models? And she mentioned one of my favorite models, Yulia Hader, who's a
best
gorgeous girl, but she's, you know,
yeah, she is.
Nine. And I said, you're going to stand me next to Yulia? I said, not only am I short, but I'm old. You know, give me a break. It's just, Teddy, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. Right. So I get in the dressing room with three other beautiful, young, 5'9" tall models. And here is 5-foot-tall, 70-year-old Teddy coming along to help out her friend put the outfit on. And they were all great. Ray Jeremiah, who was the stylist, you know, helped move, push things around. They had to even pin up the butt because they gave me a size medium, you know, and I'm very small. So they actually had to pin up the butt so it wouldn't hang on me. They got it. Ray even found a pair of size 6 shoes because all the shoes he has were size 8 and up. He found a pair of size 6 heels for me. And then I said to the girls, I said, you know, this is going to be terrible at the end because, you know, they're going to take a final shot of us. They're going to have us all stand together and I'm going to look like a munchkin next to you guys. Cause these are, they're not only 5'9", but now they're all,
they're tall
Cheetos. Yeah. So they're all above 6 feet at this point. And I'm lucky if I'm reaching 5'4" in those stilettos. Right. So one of them said to me, here's a trick, Teddy, that you do. When you take a picture with tall people, always stand up a little bit in front of them and the perspective will shift a little bit and you won't look quite as small.
Yeah.
So I did that when we finished the show and I had to walk to the back and then the rest of the girls came and followed me. I just moved myself up a little bit and I could see it on the TV too. When they first came, I thought, I'm looking like a, you know, tiny, tiny person here. And all of a sudden, I remembered and I walked up a little bit. I moved up just a tad. And I actually didn't look, you know, extraordinarily short next to them. So it was just shifting the perspective a little bit. And so I noticed when I went to one of the fashion events, whenever I would take a picture with tall people, I would tell them, okay, we're all going to do the V. So what I would do is I stand in the middle in front of them, and then they kind of V in the back.
Oh, that's because Teddy's a ham, not because Teddy's short.
And I actually didn't look as short.
It's true.
Yes, there you go. So you just do the V. Tell them just do the V, and you won't look as tiny.
Do the V.
Because this was too funny. I was at a fashion event. I think it was Curio, and this one really tall guy, JP Lamp, he's like 6'6" or something like that. And he's got a really tall friend, Deja. She's like almost 6 feet herself too. And I took a picture with the two of them and I'm standing right next to them, right? You would laugh so hard, Brittany, if you saw this picture.
He's over a foot taller.
I looked like their child. I looked like they should be holding my hand. Like I was like a little child. And I thought, I wish I had known that move up thing.
Right, move up, but it's a little bit. Yeah.
But it's just, like I said, it's not that difficult. It's just a matter of shifting the perspective a little bit.
Definitely.
I remember one more thing. I remember there's this older model. Unless you get me started. There was this older model. She wasn't even a model. She was an influencer. Her name is Grace Ganim. And she's huge. She's got like over 1 million followers. I thought from her pictures, and her daughter takes all her pictures, I thought from all her pictures that she was a tall fashion model. And then I read an article about Grace, and it turns out she's my height. But her daughter knows how to take the, and her daughter is, from what I understand, just takes pictures of her mom. It's not like she's some professional photographer.
Yeah.
But she knows how to hit the right angles with her mother, and her mother looks just as elongated as the actual 5'9" models.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started trying to educate my husband on how to hit those angles.
Right. And this is what we have to do for our fashion photographers is just give them a little more education because it's not that hard.
Exactly. It's really not that hard. And, you know, I look pretty tall most of my photos. I'm obviously very vocal about my height these days, but before I was, I'd meet photographers and go, oh, you're a lot shorter than I thought you'd be. Well,
but they also want to show the garment the best way possible. And that is showing more of the garment. So like making sure that you have those angles right is very important as well.
Definitely.
So to segue to something completely different, what's your favorite era of fashion? Like what is your to die for era, any era?
It's so hard to pick, but I will say there's a reason why we do the Roaring Runway. And I just love the 20s. I love everything about it. Just the swanky, understated, but also overdone feeling of everything. Mm. It's just so fun and just extravagant in its own way that no other era can really touch. It's just so, I don't know, there's just something about it that just warms my heart and I just love looking at. And then the other era I love for more just like the everyday outfit is like the 80s. I love the 80s. Like the hair crimping and everything is just so entertaining to me because I feel like that was the era you could just be so free with everything. And because it's so, the juxtaposition of the 80s versus the 20s are just complete opposites. So I love looking at them together. I think it's so fun. But yeah, just like more of the carefree attitude of more of like the leg warmers and like the, I know there's just something fun about the 80s. I always wanted like an 80s Mustang when I was growing up. So those 2 hours of fashion are just,
well, I would say this, it sounds to me like even though the 20s and the 80s, the styles were completely different, but the commonality tells me that you love the glamour. Because one of the things about the 80s was it wasn't just, that's kind of where active wear started becoming popular as everyday wear.
Yeah.
But it was also the era of Dynasty and all those other Dallas, all the over the top nighttime soap kind of shows.
Yeah.
That had the big shoulders and the,
I love the shoulder pads
and the hats and the big makeup, you know, the really makeup and all that kind of stuff. So it was very kind of over the top, the big hair.
It was. Oh, yeah. I think like for me, both of those eras are just so about having the carefree attitude to be who you truly are. And I think that's what pulls me to both of those eras is the flappers. That was like the first time that hems were shorter than they were supposed to be. And it was just, both of those eras were just so about pushing the envelope. And I think that's what I love so much because that's what I'm trying to do with Line Off the Tees is push the envelope, show people that there's another way to think about something. And like, this is our version of shortening hemlines, of pushing a petite model. So I think I just love the attitude and the feeling of those. And it's very inspiring that, okay, they could do that. I think we could figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Brittany, you have to tell us the truth. Are petites pushing the envelope? Are they pushing this reason why we don't dress for dinner anymore? Because petites look great in athleisure wear. Are you guys doing this?
No.
She's trying to blame us. She's trying to blame short people for every problem she's got in her life.
I'll get you.
Realistically, the reason athleisure wear has been so popular with shorter people is because we can't find things that fit us. We wear leggings because we either don't have leggings. Hips or pants are too long for us, versus leggings is a lot easier to like cut the bottom off or to get it actually fitting to your size.
So you admit you looked so good in athleisure wear, everyone else followed.
No, we were trying to be like, hey, this fits us, make something else that fits us. And then instead of that happening, they're all like, okay, I guess we'll also wear leggings and t-shirts and sweatpants. It's like, that's not what we meant. We meant make me pants that fit me. Put a skirt on me that is not a dress.
First, here first, the short women won't take responsibility with what they've done.
This is called tall woman brain. You got to tell them the same thing 5 times before it gets her.
It takes longer. My blood takes longer to get here.
I mean, even with like arms, with sleeves, like I have to roll it up and push it up for it to just look like it fits me and it's not drowning me and that I'm not wearing a men's shirt.
Well, okay. Okay. But why don't you think people get dressed for dinner anymore? Why don't we do it?
Why do you think we've become such a casual society? Yeah.
I think especially after COVID, people just got lazy. People were not willing. Same thing with jobs. People don't want an in-person job anymore. People don't want to have to work hard in the way that they used to. And I mean, the economy has also not helped anything either. Things are just so expensive. It's way cheaper to just throw on a pair of leggings, a pair of gym shoes and go to your local bar than it is like get dressed up and like go to a fancy dinner. And like, it's still nice to have those occasions, but I feel like it's become so few far between for those occasions because people, one, can't afford to do it anymore. And two, because I think it used to make you feel good to get dressed up and be cute and like go have girl dinner. But now it's very, oh, I feel like I've hurt my wallet and you're feeling, honestly, I don't want to say embarrassed, but like it hurts. It's like, oh, my wallet hurts because I'm doing this instead of, it like feels inconsiderate of yourself to be spending all this money and to be yeah, like it's not economical in a way of like you're getting dressed up, and I just feel guilty all the time of like getting dressed up, going out, spending this money instead of just like making dinner at home or like inviting a friend over and having a glass of wine on the balcony. I think that's just the era, especially my generation is in, because things are so expensive. It's hard to get a good job to actually pay you a living wage. It's just the economy, I think, has been the deciding factor, unfortunately.
So that's a very different perspective than the ones that we have gotten. And you're saying, you know what, we don't get dressed up because we actually feel guilty about excess.
I don't.
Yeah.
Drop a guilt. I don't ever drop a guilt.
I think the guilt more comes from not having the cash flow to be able to spend that. Because our generation is way more about being the creative, and we don't have salary jobs that have good benefits. And, you know, my generation's getting married a lot later too. Like, we don't have other sources of income that are coming in. It's a lot of people at most at my age is making maybe like 50 to 60K. Like, we don't have the cash we're sitting around. And all of our rents are like $2,300 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Rents are very expensive for young people who are mainly renting apartments.
Right. The rent is too high.
Yeah, they can't afford homes. So yeah, there are bigger priorities in your life than, let's say, you know, getting dressed to the nines and going out to dinner. But I could also make the case that fashion has never been more accessible and less expensive than it has been now. I mean, with the onset of fast fashion, you have Zara, you have H&M, you have Temu, you have Shein.
The issue, though, with all of that is because our generation is also way more about the environment. We care more about where our clothes are going. So people don't want to spend the money on Zara or H&M or Shein, because then when you go to dinners and ask, where's that from? You're also embarrassed and be like, oh, it's
Shein. Yeah,
and people love to shame. They will shame you these days of buying fast fashion because it's not okay for the environment. And because we're younger, that we're going to have to deal with the aftermath. Right. You know, like, we have to watch what happens.
Right. So it's not accessible in the same way that we think of it as accessible. You're not like, it's not accessible. This is like that quick hit of dopamine, and it's not the joy. And you're saying your generation is actually trying to bring the joy and not that like quick.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, it's not about like the quick access, I feel like, anymore. Like, with social media, of course, people want like things at their fingertips.
Oh, sure.
But as far as like how fashion goes, people don't want the quick fix. People, like my generation, is huge thrifters. We love a good vintage find. Like, this is a vintage necklace vintage watch I turned into a necklace.
I've been admiring it all the whole time. I was like, that is a watch. That's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's things like that. Like, we are more of the creative side. I think it's just because we have to be able to be willing to fix things and deal with like what comes with vintage, which is a lot of patches that have to be sewn, and there's a lot more that goes into it. And we're our own fixer-uppers. A lot of people know how to sew again, which didn't happen in the last generation of the Gen Zers and the millennials. And so I think people still get dressed up for dinner. It's just a different kind of dressed up, because they're going back more towards the vintage instead of like dressing up to the nines, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still, I mean, even with vintage, you can still, when I say get dressed up, it doesn't mean you have to be in a cocktail dress and that
kind of thing.
I'm talking about the difference of you're going to a nice restaurant. You know, it doesn't have to be a Michelin star restaurant, but a nice restaurant where the environment kind of tells you this is a little bit more elegant environment than, let's say, a Denny's or your local pizzeria or whatever. And you're still seeing people showing up at those kinds of places in leggings or jeans and a hoodie, you know, gym shoes. We call them gym shoes, sneakers.
Whatever. Yeah.
You can still wear a nice dress. It could be a $15 vintage dress, and you could look just as nice, but it doesn't seem to me that people are willing to put in the effort to do that.
As a society,
you know, I understand the idea about cost and sustainability, and a lot more designers are taking into account sustainability and reusing or using fabrics that maybe were you know, not mass market and kind of tossed to the side and that kind of thing.
And being more mindful about what luxury is, because I hear that from you. You're like, luxury is inviting a friend over for a glass of wine. But just like wearing athleisure wear to, you know, a fancy restaurant. Why do you think people are doing that?
I think part of it is because, again, like, we're in like another kind of 20s, 80s era of people just want to wear what they want to wear and not get judged or feel bad about it. I think it really just comes down to, one, people want to wear what they want to wear and feel comfortable going. But I think another part of it is like,
Brittany, do you think people have just gotten lazy?
Oh, yeah. I think one of it is definitely people get lazy. But I think body dysmorphia has been a huge issue because of social media, too, that people want to be in, like, bigger, baggier. Like, I definitely have those days where I'm like, I don't feel like I look cute. Oh. I'm going to throw on my hoodie with my hood on and, like, leggings to go to the grocery store. I don't want anyone to see me, because that's just how you feel sometimes, you know? Like, now everyone feels great every single day when they wake up. They're like, oh, I look great.
Nobody does. If anybody tells you, they do, they're lying.
Oh, 100%. But I think, like, you have a date or you have, you know, girls' dinner and you don't want to cancel. And so you're like, I'm just going to show up and how I'm feeling and just be actually honest about it instead of trying to put on that mask and try to get dressed up and pretend things are okay. Some girls are at dinner and, like, you know, I've thought that too, because I'm a big people watcher. I think it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Where I watch these girls come in and one of them was dressed and looks gorgeous and the other one was in her hoodie and like slippers and things. So like, what is going on there? They did not communicate about what kind of dinner they were going to. But it was actually, the girl had just broken up with her boyfriend. So she just wasn't in that space, but she still wanted to be able to spend time with her friend. So I think part of it's just people are more willing to just be who they are these days instead of having to wear that mask to go out.
Yeah, I think that that's fascinating, because that is really, there's a big push among the youths about their mental health and being honest about that and removing those masks is very interesting. Whereas like, Teddy and I are like, oh, it's, you know, there's like this lack of respect for like the people who are running the restaurant or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know what? It's not that. It's that we are trying to be more honest as human beings.
Yeah. And I think it's a plethora of things. Yeah. Sometimes it's that where they're like, I'm just not in a headspace to like feel good about myself. I want to sit in my sad time, because that's okay too. But there are people who are just being lazy and just don't want to have to put the effort in, which is not fair, because especially if you're on a date, girl, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you should feel good. You should make whoever you're on a date with feel good, because if they're putting the effort in, you should too. So I think that it's just a variety of answers and reasons as to why people are doing what they're doing. And in this day and age, it's so hard to guess,
honestly. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons that we will keep exploring this question, because you're right, Brittany. Yeah. There is no one answer.
No.
And it's so interesting to hear everybody's different perspectives and also similar perspectives, because I see a thread running through with almost everybody that we've interviewed. Almost everybody has blamed COVID, and almost everybody has blamed the economy. And then there's spinoffs like you gave with the sustainability and the environment, or
and just the unmasking
your mental health issues or whatever. So it's always an interesting question to ask, because even though there's a lot of similarities running through the answers, there's also things that I would have never even thought of.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Never even hit my brain that people are. And I'm a therapist. I was the director of behavioral health in my department for 30 years. So it's not like I don't know about mental health. But for somebody to say that I want to show how I feel, because that's one of the questions we ask, is does the way you dress reflect the way you feel? And what you're saying, Brittany, is it does. Especially,
I think it does.
For people, because, like you said before, might have masked their feelings by saying, okay, I'm going out to dinner. I feel like crap, but I'm going to lift myself up and go out. And you're saying your generation has kind of tossed that idea out and said, no, I'm going to go out looking exactly how I feel.
Right.
I mean, I think that's twofold too, because sometimes I want to get dressed up because I want to get out of my funk. So I think it just depends on what the occasion is and what is going on in you internally. Because sometimes you do just want to show up how you're feeling. Sometimes I really need to like feel better about myself. So I'm going to put on a cute dress and go have girl dinner and have a great time.
But you are staying true to whatever your need is.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it's basically you're going out with the girls. You're going out with the entire cast of Inside Out. That's what's happening.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Like, I'm the princess who keeps an extra pair of, like, I keep an extra pair of shoes in my car and sweatpants. It's like, if I'm feeling like I want to take this dress off and put my sweatpants under it, and that's turning into a shirt and I'm putting flip-flops on.
That's amazing. All right. I think that's the time.
Yeah.
That's the time we have.
Well, thanks so much, Brittany. We really enjoyed your insight. It's a really interesting topic. Hopefully you'll keep staying out there and advocating for us little shorties, because we certainly wear clothes just like anybody else. And thank you for all your perspective. You were a delightful guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you both so much for having me. It was great. Bye. Bye. Episode. Bye.
So what did you think about what Brittany had to say as far as, let's start with the height issue.
I mean, well, Brittany runs Why Not Petites. I think that's great. I mean, someone's got to advocate for all of those, you know, short petite women out there. I thought that it was quite interesting, like, how vocal, you really have to be very vocal at one, because you're short. It's hard to hear you way down there.
I'm going to punch her in the face when this is over.
I'll deserve it. But you really do have to be very vocal, because people are not really thinking about it. You know, you're putting together your docket, you're like, here are my models. You're just going to select from whatever the modeling agency has. So I thought it was really interesting for her to be like, no, you just have to push.
But do you think, do you think that the pushing needs to be done at the agency level, the designer level, the photographer level? Which do you think is the most important?
Well, I think you really have to push on all of those. But really, it is, you know, it's the creative director in any fashion house, right? That creative director, they're asking for what they want. So if the designer is the creative director, he or she needs to ask, right? That's who I need to ask.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to fall down and be like, okay, I need a photographer that can shoot petites. Because it is a slightly different skill set.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. My husband can do it. Anybody can do it.
Exactly. Exactly. But as Brittany pointed out, she was like, photographers, they don't want to learn. They figured out their thing and that's all they have. So,
don't you think that makes, when you look at fashion magazines, it's the same old poses all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're squatting on the ground. They're standing. It's all the same old baloney. I mean, it would be a little bit more interesting to see some different kinds of angles. And sometimes like you take a petite model and you can photograph them almost at a diagonal. And it makes like a very interesting picture.
You know, I would say, honestly, that having been present at many a photo shoot in my past life in fashion, that it's more to do with how good the model is. Models like our friend Yulia. Yulia can be like, no, how about this? How about this? I can see this dynamically working. And she's just so good about posing herself that the photographer just has to follow.
Just snaps.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's great. So I think the like who you have to push on is everyone. But really, if you're really trying to push on someone, it is those creative directors. Get the petites in there.
Yeah.
This is your market. It's the CEOs. It's like getting to that executive level, being like, you know what? Petite women make up, you know, 40% of the population. You're missing all of them by not showing them what they can look like in your clothes. And so I think really hitting those executives is probably where it is.
Yeah.
But I did love how like she was not shy about where petites were included and not included and when they were not included. When she was like, no, we got all tall models for Fashion Week. Suddenly, like there were no petites in it. She's like, you know.
Yeah, she was really the only one who did a petite fashion show. And even in her fashion show, the models weren't exactly what I would call petite. They were like 5'5 and 5'6. I didn't see any 5'2" models in there. You know, so... And not to say anything about like Brittany is, you know, being duplicitous or anything like that. But even in that particular fashion show, those models look pretty tall to me, especially when they had their heels on.
Well, because you can
take if you take a 5'4", 5'5" person and you put them in 4-inch stilettos, they're going to be 5'9". So they're sure. still going to look 5'9".
Sure. And there are, I mean, there are some limitations. If that clothing isn't made custom to the very small mm-hmm. woman, it's not going to look yeah. right. Whereas 5'6", it might look right with just a little bit. So yeah. I do understand that.
Yeah.
But I love that she wasn't shy about it.
Yeah.
I love that she was like, listen, you know, people probably didn't even notice they were excluding us because this is yeah. the standard, but she's just going to keep pushing on that.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. What did you think yeah. about her talking about how we don't dress for dinner anymore? Like, she specifically named her generation, which I'm assuming is Gen Z.
Yeah, probably. And I would say Brittany looks to me to be in her 20s.
Yeah. She said, we don't dress for dinner. You know, it depends because it's really based on how we're feeling or how we need to feel and we unmask. I thought that was so fascinating. And I hadn't really considered that because I am from a generation that you get dressed to leave the house, right? You dress.
Or, you know, whether or not you look good or whether or not I should say you feel good or not, we just dressed for the occasion. We didn't dress for how we felt. Like, I'm in a funk today, so I'm going to just put on a hoodie and my leggings and flip-flops, and I don't care what anybody thinks, kind of a thing.
Right.
That was not even an option in my generation, or I think even in yours.
No, you know? So people would assume that we had some mental difficulties.
Well, and
honestly,
what she's saying is they do have mental difficulties, but they're showing it.
But
they're not masking it with the way they will dress.
So is it that we have become more accepting of people feeling depressed or having some sort of like just being in a not happy all the time? Are we actually bouncing back from, I need to put on this like happy sticker over my depressed face or whatever? Are we bouncing back from that?
Well, here's what I would say. And this is just my own.
I mean, personal, you're the expert here.
This is my own personal professional.
Right. The expert.
Professional perspective, because I was a licensed therapist at one time. I would say that it's not healthy to go out wearing your depression on your sleeve.
Mm.
Because here's what it does. It perpetuates what depressed people want, and that's sympathy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't sympathize or empathize with somebody who is going through a clinical depression. Mm-hmm. That is a whole different thing.
Okay.
That's a clinical depression is an illness, just like cancer is an illness, or heart problems are an illness, or high blood pressure is an illness. Clinical depression needs to be medicated, and you need to receive therapy for that in order to overcome that. That's a whole different thing. But if you're just going through a blue funk, or, you know, you broke up with your boyfriend and you're not feeling really good, then maybe if you want to cocoon and stay in the house and, you know, soothe your wounds a little bit, watch some TV, talk to your girlfriends, have a glass of wine, that's fine. But really the best way to elevate your mood is to do what Brittany said she feels like she needs to do sometimes, and that's to force herself to get dressed. Because it will, once you look good, you feel good, it elevates your mood. So it's almost like an artificial, if you want to call it artificial, mood lifter. Now, I'm talking about for somebody who has a case of the blues. You know, we all kind of get down in the dumps every now and then, or we all just don't feel right or good or whatever, that kind of thing. But if you are clinically depressed, and you're walking around in a hoodie and flip-flops 24/7, somebody needs to take a deeper look at what's going on with you than just, you know, this is who I am, I'm going to be depressed, and everybody in the world needs to know it. There is no therapeutic value to that.
Well, here's something I wonder, because of social media, because social media is where we show our best selves,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, he wants to look at you when you're all
crummy. And so social media, it's their best selves. And then mm-hmm. when they finally go out with their girlfriends, they don't dress up because they're like, hey, look, guys, I wanted to show up authentically for you. You're saying that kind, maybe that's not what you're saying, and I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but that kind of expression, like, I am going to hang out with my girlfriends and they do need to know I'm going for a hard time, and I'm going to wear that inside on my outside mm-hmm. so that they know that, because they're not seeing it in my socials, which is my best life ever.
Yeah, the best life ever thing I'm getting a little tired of too, because, you know, come on, fashion magazines aren't reality. Social media is not reality.
You're saying perception's not reality.
If you don't know this by now, and you've been looking at social media for umpteen years now, 10, 15 years, nobody's going to go on social media and say, I just woke up this morning, I got bad breath, and I got 3 zits under my eyes here, and I just want to tell you about this face cream. This is not going to happen.
Love their list.
That's not going to happen. You know, people want to watch something that they're going to enjoy. Social media is entertainment. Mm. It's just another form of entertainment. You don't watch TV so you can be depressed, unless you want to watch like a tearjerker movie or something like that. But most of the time you're watching TV purely for entertainment. Mm. And I think we all need to put into perspective that social media is nothing but purely entertainment. It's just another form of entertainment. I won an award as a content creator. They're giving me an award because of the great life that I'm leading? No, they gave me an award because I know how to put together a video that's halfway entertaining and people watch it.
Oh, so our podcast is entertaining?
Our podcast is entertaining.
This is entertainment. Do not take life advice from Teddy.
No, because I'm a retired therapist, so I'm not taking any clinical responsibility for anybody. But I will say this. If you do find yourself feeling down in the dumps, and this is just a little, you know, disclaimer. If you're finding yourself down in the dumps for more than 2 weeks, if you're oversleeping, you're undersleeping, you're overeating, you're undereating. You can't pinpoint what is making you feel this way. You need to seek the help of a professional because there's a good chance that you do have a clinical depression, which is something that needs to be managed by a doctor and by a licensed therapist. This is not something that you're going to pull yourself out of. And I want people to take that very seriously because I've seen some very serious consequences coming out of people who ignored depression for too long of a period of time. So I don't want anybody to take that lightly at all. And we're talking about, you know, feeling a little down in the dumps or whatever. And so you're wearing your hoodie and your flip flops or whatever. That's fine. But that's not a clinical depression. Mm. But if it lasts more than 2 weeks, it really does need to be something that is examined by your doctor. And that goes far beyond any realm of no way of dressing, no amount of makeup, no amount of hairdos or anything is going to pull you out of that. That I really just need to get across to people just to be, you know, clinically appropriate, because that's not a laughing matter. Mm-hmm. Mental health is just as important as your physical health. And if we don't take care of our mental health, our physicality will suffer. We know that heart problems come as a result of depression, high blood pressure. Some cancers are exacerbated by stress and depression. So physical ailments can come from mental ailments, and you can't take that lightly. So when we're talking about the way you feel, we're not talking about your mental health per se, because when I'm talking about mental health, I'm talking about real illnesses that need real treatment.
Mm, I do think that does get confused, especially on social media. Everybody is a narcissist. Everybody is a this.
Everybody's being diagnosed. I can't tell you how many people are, this one's a borderline. This one is a narcissist. Right. This one's a sociopath.
And that's real.
I don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
But what you're saying is like true mental health.
Needs treatment.
Right. It's not the same as you're just feeling down today.
Right. It has nothing to do with the way you dress. And I don't want anybody to mistake this podcast for anything other than pure entertainment. And we're finding fun and value and insight into the nature of the way we dress, the history of the way we dress, listening to fun people from the fashion industry. So this is an entertainment show, gang. This is not to help anybody clinically, other than please get help for yourself if you are feeling low and you're isolating or any of those things for more than a couple of weeks.
Right. Well, this went off the rails in a very sincere way that I appreciate.
Yes, we really did need to rein that in, because I don't want anybody to think that we are mocking or judging anybody who has a mental illness needs treatment.
For sure. Well, Telly, let me ask you this. I just called you Telly, by the way, like Telly Savalas.
Well, I am Greek, so there you go.
Well, Teddy, why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
I don't know, Melissa. Why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
Find out next time.